Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
At the time, I just thought, wow, like I must have been like really asleep then because I'm like really off balance. I'm feeling really strange. I just thought at the time I'm still half asleep here. I sort of made my way downstairs into the lounge where I was planning to like do some stretching, and I just sort of collapsed onto the sofa, sat back and was sat there thinking like, whoa, what's happening here? I feel strange. There's something's not right here. It started off as I would think a word and I would try and say the word I was thinking of, and a completely different word would come out. I was doing that for, I don't know, a minute or so. And then I was sort of like, okay, this isn't good. I need to wake my wife up. So then I went back. I sort of started climbing the stairs again. And then the whole way up, I was like, right, I need to wake my wife. I need to say her name. Say her name's Catherine. So say cat, cat, cat. I just felt like I was on fire. In hindsight, the whole right side of my body was numb, and the way at the moment in time, all I could feel was that I felt hot. I wasn't aware that I had no sensation in the right side. I wasn't aware that my left side was fine. It just, that's how it presented. But yeah, then the paramedics arrived. By this point, I still felt very vacant, like not really all there. I kept saying the wrong dates. She was asking for my date of birth. I was thinking my date of birth. I just kept saying completely random numbers, which was really confusing her, and like really, yeah, it was really frustrating because I was like, I know, I'm thinking the right thing. I know my date of birth. Like, I just can't say it. And yeah, then I was sort of handed over to a busy COVID times A&E department. So I just spent a long time in A&E seeing tech doctors and nurses and sort of going through that process.
Hello, it's Mark Goodyear, and this is Stroke Stories, the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. Today we hear from James Bowden from Bracknell. James suffered a stroke when he was 30.
Pre-stroke, I was a pretty average person, to be honest. My wife and I had recently had our first child, so my son at the time was 4 months old. It was obviously in and out of the COVID times, so it was in and out of lockdowns and things like that. But generally, you know, worked a full-time job as a project manager. My hobbies were sort of football, watching football, playing football, seeing friends, seeing family. I'd recently found out I had a place on the London Marathon. So I just got started. I was about 2 or 3 weeks into getting seriously into running, to run a planned marathon in October 2021. So that's sort of where I was at with my life, to be honest, at that moment in time. The day of my stroke was, as I sort of mentioned, I was running at the time, training for the marathon. So I was on a rest day. So my alarm went off half five, something like that. I was in bed with my wife, and then my phone alarm went off, and then I picked up my right hand because I'm right-handed. I couldn't swipe the phone to turn the alarm off. I just kept dropping my phone. We had a sleeping baby with us. My wife was like, shh, turn your alarm off. And I kept dropping my phone. And then I used my left arm, turned the alarm off, got out of bed, stumbled into the wardrobe, and then sort of stumbled back into the bed, and sort of used my left arm to sort of against the wall to walk round out the room. Sort of like, I just thought, wow, like I must have been like really asleep then because I'm like really off balance. I'm feeling really strange. I just thought at the time I'm still half asleep here. I sort of made my way downstairs into the lounge where I was planning to like do some stretching, and I just sort of collapsed onto the sofa, sat back and was sat there thinking like, whoa, what's happening here? I feel strange. There's something's not right here. It was then at that point I sort of became aware that I couldn't talk, or I don't know what made me realize that, but I thought, I don't think I can talk. So it started off as I would think a word and I would try and say the word I was thinking of, and a completely different word would come out. I was doing that for, I don't know, a minute or so. And then I was sort of like, okay, this isn't good. I need to wake my wife up. So then I went back, I sort of started climbing the stairs again. And then the whole way up, I was like, right, I need to wake my wife. I need to say her name. Say her name's Catherine. So say cat, cat, cat. Open the door. And then I just was thinking cat, like just say it. And then just nothing. I couldn't get any words to come out of my mouth. But she woke and came out straight away. First of all, she was like, oh, someone's died, something's happened, like he can't talk to me, something's seriously wrong. And then I think very quickly that transitioned to, oh, he's sick, something's wrong with him. And then she straight away sort of said, I think you're having a stroke, sit down. So I sort of sat down, I sort of put my head in my hands and didn't really know, I still couldn't talk. I didn't know what was happening. I just was really, everything was really confusing. I was sort of like, yeah, I didn't know what was going on. I also, it's sort of very typical and very cliche, but I just sort of thought, I'm not having a stroke. That's like really serious. That wouldn't happen to me. But my wife straight away sort of rang. I think I transitioned into then sort of being able to say a few words, and I sort of was trying to sort of say, I don't think I'm having a stroke. And my wife was really concerned. She initially rang 111, and then because of the time of the morning, we were very fortunate we got straight through, and the call handler spoke to me. I was still confused, saying the wrong words, not making any sense. She straight away sort of said, yeah, you're having a stroke, and then called, she sent an ambulance around. And yeah, so I then sort of went, my wife sort of helped me back to the lounge, and I sort of just laid on the sofa, and my speech had transitioned into sort of, it would take me 3 or 4 attempts to say the word I was trying to say, but I had regained an ability to sort of say some words rather than that acute period of 5 to 10 minutes where I could not speak at all. I also, at this point, like my body felt strange. So I felt like my body was really hot. I kept saying to my wife, my body, like I'm on fire, like feel my body. And she touched like my body, said, no, your normal temperature, like don't worry. And then I just felt like I was on fire. In hindsight, the whole right side of my body was numb. And the way at the moment in time, all I could feel was that I felt hot. I wasn't aware that I had no sensation in the right side. I wasn't aware that my left side was fine. It just, that's how it presented. But yeah, then the paramedics arrived. By this point, I still felt very vacant, like not really all there. And I felt sick. I felt like there were paramedics I didn't know in my home. I was a bit like, I didn't really want that. I just kind of wanted to like be at home and feel safe. So I spoke to the paramedics best I could. My wife was also sort of chipping in and helping. They did lots of different tests on me, like movement tests, speech tests, lots of different things. They were satisfied. They didn't think it was a stroke, but they weren't. They needed sort of approval from a doctor. So they called a doctor. I spoke to the doctor. The doctor was satisfied it wasn't a stroke, but was concerned and advised me to check in with my GP once my GP opened that day. The paramedics were probably with me like over an hour, because we had to wait quite a long time for the GP to call us back. And that sort of period, I was just sort of lying on the sofa feeling just completely exhausted. I just sort of wasn't really doing or saying much. Then, yeah, the paramedics left and I sort of was still not really speaking properly. I kept saying the wrong words. And normally I'm very calm in situations. I'm quite pragmatic with my thought process. And quite often I'll probably be like, oh, look, it's nothing serious. It's much more likely to be something not serious. But at this time, my wife was sort of saying, what should we do? I couldn't, the fact I completely lost the ability to speak, it didn't seem like anything not serious. So we sort of made a decision to go to A&E. So my wife drove to A&E, which was about a 30-minute drive. When I got to A&E, I sort of regressed with my speech. I then lost, I couldn't speak again. the nurse at the door, because it was COVID, you had to like be greeted at the door and you couldn't go in till, and only one person could go and all that sort of thing. But the nurse greeted me. She asked me what was wrong. I couldn't tell her. I was thinking what I wanted to say, but I couldn't speak. So I just had to look at my wife. She sort of explained, I think he's had a stroke. Then said, okay, great, you need to go see the desk and then we'll sort of see you right away. Got to the desk to give them my information. And again, I kept saying the wrong dates. She was asking for my date of birth. I was thinking my date of birth. I just kept saying completely random numbers, which was really confusing her and like really, yeah, it was really frustrating because I was like, I know I'm thinking the right thing. I know my date of birth. I just can't say it. And yeah, then I was sort of handed over to a busy COVID times A&E department. So I just spent a long time in A&E seeing doctors and nurses and sort of going through that process.
James faced a long wait in A&E.
I think I got to A&E around about 9 o'clock in the morning. I then sort of got a bit better, I guess. I was sort of managing the initial, they initially did sort of tested my heart and did all the vital checks and were satisfied. They'd known I'd already spoken to a doctor, so I wasn't like a massively urgent case for them, I don't think, because it took a long time. At this moment in time, I still didn't realize I had complete right-sided numbness, which sounds like really strange for people to probably understand. But at the time, I didn't realize that. I think had I realized that and had I communicated that, I think it would have been a much bigger concern and a much sort of higher priority that, oh yeah, this is presenting as a stroke. Because at one point I saw a doctor, I'd waited hours to see a doctor. I saw a doctor and he asked me to shut my eyes. He said, I'm going to touch your leg, tell me if you can feel it, and then tell me once I touch your arm and tell me once I touch your face. I felt him touch my left leg. He sort of was poking me. He worked his way up my left leg and then he poked his way up my left arm and then he poked his way on my face, the left side of my face. And I was like, yeah, I can feel you're my leg, you're my arm, blah, blah, blah. On hindsight, again, it sounds silly to say, but on hindsight, he was poking both sides of my body. I just think he didn't make it clear, or he maybe made it clear because I just had a stroke and I just wasn't really taking information on very well. I was like not really understanding things particularly well. So that was another key point where I think had I understood he was poking both sides of my body and communicated that my right side was completely numb, I couldn't feel it, that again probably would have heightened my sort of urgency. But then it sort of got to a point, I was in A&E all day. They didn't, because I was at risk of having, because they, I was a, at the time, didn't realize I had a stroke, but they didn't want me to eat because strokes can affect your swallow reflex. So I hadn't eaten all day. I was sort of sat just on a chair in A&E, people sort of coming and going, and then got to sort of 7 o'clock at night and a stroke nurse had come down from the stroke ward. I'd been speaking to her throughout the day. She was sort of trying to get stroke consultants down to check me over, but they were sort of busy with other priorities and things. Eventually, there was a bit of a conversation between the stroke nurse and an A&E nurse, and it was either a Thursday or a Friday. It was late in the week. I think it was maybe like a Friday morning. So like we were about to hit the weekend where obviously it's harder to get GP or medical support. So the stroke nurse wanted to sort of, she was saying, look, there's not really much we can do. I think you should just come back on Monday. But the A&E nurse was sort of saying, look, you don't know what's wrong with him. I think he needs to stay. I don't think you can just send him home. I was completely exhausted because I just had a stroke. I hadn't eaten all day. I was tired. Like I was not really in a functional place to make decisions and understand what was best for me. But the stroke nurse, basically we called my wife. My wife's like, look, you can't come home. Like what happens if this happens again? We don't know what's going on. Yeah, they did admit me that night. It was quite late at night. They found a bed for me, and I think in like the middle of the night, they wheeled me off for an MRI scan on my brain. Again, I just had a stroke. I was exhausted. I was just sort of, doctors were coming in and poking me and prodding me and doing the various tests. I was just sort of a bit oblivious and a bit sort of out of it, to be honest. But yeah, the next morning, the consultant came around to do the rounds and sort of sat me down, or sort of sat me up in bed and said, look, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you've had a stroke. To be honest, it wasn't, that's obviously, my wife had said that after 2 minutes of looking at me at the very start of the day. So it wasn't really a surprise. I think he was expecting it to be a surprise to me, but I was sort of like, okay, like, I understand that. I was very fortunate because I had, the right side of my body was still completely numb, but my speech had returned to near normal. And that happened the day of the stroke. Throughout the day, my speech was sort of gradually returning more and more to normal. But overall, I was in hospital then for 5 days. I had, lots of tests in that time. Initially, they did like a dye test on the arteries in my neck to understand if, because I had an ischemic stroke, which is the most common stroke, which is where a blood clot blocks the blood vessels in your brain, which causes a cutoff of oxygen to pass your brain, which is when the acute signs sort of effects of a stroke occur. Yeah, they did like an ECG. They scanned my heart, like a CAT scan of my heart in hospital. Yeah, they did a dye test to check the arteries were clear. Blocked arteries can obviously increase the risk of blood clots. All of my tests in hospital were coming back positive and weren't showing an initial sign of what the cause might have been. They were doing lots of blood tests, checking for autoimmune diseases. There was lots of like kind of scattergun approach to tests, I think, to try and start narrowing down what the cause might have been. But yeah, overall, I was in hospital for 5 days. I was discharged, sort of middle of the following week. Went back home to, my wife and young son.
Coming up, James talks about his recovery.
Initially, the early days, my recovery was just real stroke fatigue. I was sort of sleeping long hours at night and was napping in the day. I was signed off work. So I was off work completely for roughly 6 weeks, I'd say. It was very much, my work said it's very much on your doctor on when you come back. My doctor was very much, it's on you because you need to tell us how you feel. And again, very cliche, I was like, I'm fine, like I don't want to be off work, I don't want people thinking I'm sick, I just want to get back to work.
And undergoing surgery.
They go in your groin and they work their way through your sort of blood vessels up to your heart, and they basically implant a device which sort of blocks the hole in the heart. So I had that procedure in December 2022, so sort of 18 months after stroke, which was successful. And so in that 18 month period as well, I was only really allowed to walk in terms of exercise.
James was in hospital for a short period before returning home.
So part of my hospital stay, I saw physiotherapists as well, and they sort of gave me exercises to do when I got home. Because during my hospital stay, I did eventually become aware, the right side of my body is completely numb, I can't feel it. So I went home and, I was discharged, but I was still going through lots of tests. So it was a long journey to keep going to hospital sort of once a month or every other month to sort of continue the next test and the next test and the next test to try and isolate the cause of the stroke. Initially, the early days, my recovery was just real stroke fatigue. I was sort of sleeping long hours at night and was napping in the day. I was signed off work. So I was off work completely for roughly 6 weeks, I'd say. It was very much, my work said it's very much on your doctor on when you come back. My doctor was very much, it's on you because you need to tell us how you feel. And again, very cliche, I was like, I'm fine, like I don't want to be off work, I don't want people thinking I'm sick, I just want to get back to work. So I would say I definitely rushed back to work too soon, but I did taper back in. So I started on like reduced hours and was slowly built my way back up to full time. But yeah, in terms of how I was, I had to do, with a baby child at home, my young son, he had lots of sensory toys, which were really useful because I basically had to do lots of sensory exercises at home. So I had to use my left hand or left foot to touch something that was spiky or something that was rough, something that was crinkly, and then feel it with the corresponding part of my right side of my body to try and kind of like reteach the body what that sensation feels like. I initially had like my right leg was dragging, not really obviously dragging, but like I could feel it was slower. It was a bit more difficult to move. I also found stairs quite difficult in the early days. Like it was more like it felt like a disconnect between my legs and my brain. Like I was very aware that I was having to think about how to climb the stairs as opposed to normally you just run up and down the stairs without needing to think about it. I also had quite bad word recall issues. So it was like I was speaking a different language and I couldn't think of the right word to use. And I was very consistently saying the wrong words without realizing. So like people wouldn't understand what I was trying to say to them. And then, yeah, so eventually I was, yeah, months and months of testing and checks. Some went around probably like springtime in 2022. So this is, 9 or so months after my stroke. It was confirmed that they did a toe bubble scan, which is a transesophageal scan. So they put basically a camera down your throat and they get really close to your heart and then they pump like a saline drip in, see if any of it passes through your heart. That I sort of failed that test. So there it was confirmed I had a hole in my heart, which was something I'd had since birth. It's sort of relatively common thing. It's sort of 25% of the population have it, which most people it will be sort of completely fine and nothing to worry about. But in my case, it what caused my stroke. So then I sort of was passed to St. Thomas's Hospital in London, who then had a sort of specialist cardio unit, and they did some further tests. And then it was sort of agreed between the stroke consultant and the cardio consultant that the best course of action for me, considering my age and my case, was that I should have a PFO closure, keyhole procedure, where they go in your groin and they work their way through your sort of blood vessels up to your heart. And they basically implant a device which sort of blocks the hole in the heart. So I had that procedure in December 2022. So sort of 18 months after stroke, which was successful. And yeah, so in that 18 month period as well, I was only really allowed to walk in terms of exercise, because they were concerned that if I was to exercise, the pressure in my heart would change, which would open the hole, which would increase the risk of a blood clot getting through the heart and to my brain. I was on and still on lots of different medications to reduce the risk of a stroke happening. And I'm still under outpatient care with the hospital for my PFO closure. I've got another scan in this month, so sort of November or December 23, to hopefully confirm it's still all good and hopefully be discharged from their care, which will sort of be the final discharge from the whole sort of stroke PFO closure process. I feel really good. I feel very, very fortunate that I am feeling so good, because the early days after my stroke, I think it's very easy to sort of think, why me? And sort of think, why has this happened to me? I'm so unfortunate. And I did some, there's a great charity called Different Strokes they sort of do Zoom calls every sort of 2 weeks for stroke survivors to just speak and chat about how they're doing and all that sort of thing. They were really great for me. They were really helpful. I met people that were similar to me, and it was fantastic. I also met lots of people who weren't as fortunate as me and had severe speech difficulties or severe fatigue or severe mobility issues. So it's sort of, I came away thinking, do you know what? I'm really, really lucky that I am so well and so healthy. So yeah, just feeling really sort of grateful, I guess. I deferred my marathon place, which I obviously was training for at the time of the stroke. I deferred it several times. Now I'm good to run again and train. So I'm sort of in the middle of training for the marathon, which for me sort of, it feels like once I run the marathon, it'll be sort of like closing the chapter on the whole stroke process. So I'm excited. I'm running. I'm sort of using my Instagram to sort of share my journey on running, trying to share a bit of awareness with strokes and all that sort of thing. So overall feeling good. I'm still have some very, very minor stroke symptoms long term, which are absolutely fine to manage daily. But yeah, feeling grateful that I'm able to run a marathon and talk about it and work a sort of full-time job and all that sort of thing.
James says you should never hesitate to ask for help.
Definitely reach out, whether it's just calling or emailing a charity that's out there, because there are, it's very common, and however anyone is feeling, there will be lots of people out there who are feeling exactly the same. Never sort of suffer in silence. I've sort of only just sort of started my journey with sort of speaking to other stroke survivors, but there are so many people out there who are really willing to talk and share experiences and share what helped them and what might be helpful to other people. It's an individual process. No one stroke survivor is going to feel the same as someone else. It's important to understand that. It's a roller coaster. You feel good, you feel less good, and there's also mental effects of a stroke. It's a whole journey, and I think it's really important to speak to other people and just share from their experiences, and just never sort of go in it alone, because there's so many people out there who are really great people, really happy to help. So just reach out and just find people to sort of help you through your journey.
Doctors were able to isolate the cause of James's stroke, a hole in the heart, and he's since had surgery to close the hole, which will greatly reduce his chances of another stroke. As ever, many thanks for listening to Stroke Stories. Please do recommend it wherever you can, and rate and comment and subscribe on your preferred podcast provider. And if you are or you know of a stroke survivor and there's a story you can share, please get in touch via X or Instagram. Our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea, with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.